Hey, this is Sean Hogan, and you are listening to the Music's Journey Show with my friend Kim Sear.
I still got the red strap bottle cap you found on the beach where I made you laugh. I reckon if we hustle, we'll be lining back, but you let me have it. Salty, it was sensory overload, and I fell for every word you said for spoke. My heart beat like drums, we'll never know if the universe planned it. We could say Montego Bay had a magic in the air, playing romantic foolie in the hands of faith there. Nothing but love adds up to us.
You just heard a snippet of the new single, Nothing But Love, by Canadian country singer-songwriter Sean Hogan. Sean Hogan's debut album was released in 1996 that brought us that unique blend of alt country and modern rustic pop that immediately caught the attention of Canadian country radio and music fans all across Canada. It led to his first Canadian Country Music Association Award for Independent Male Artist of the Year in 1997. In the following years, Sean Hogan has released hit single after hit single, songs that include Slow Turning, Surefire Love, Dream Vacation, Angeline, I'd Rather Have You, Catalina Sunrise, A Cowboy's Heart, and Suck It Up, just to name a few. These songs have become staples of Canadian country music radio. Sean has also had great success in the States as well. He has released 18 music videos that have aired on CMT Canada over the years. Here to talk about his new single and share some of those great stories that we all know and love is multi-award winning country singer-songwriter Sean Hogan. Hi, Sean. How are you?
Hey, Kim. I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Great. You got such a great, great radio voice. You know that, right?
Well, thank you for saying that. That's kind of you.
Considering you used to be in radio years ago, right?
That was a long time ago. I was 21. The story behind me getting a radio is pretty hilarious. How I, you know, it was either literally I was attending a provincial seminar for 19 to 21 year olds or whatever, and it was like a Ontario work camp seminar for people that were out of school and of a certain age. Mm-hmm. Looking for summer jobs, and the Ontario government was happy to pay 50% of your potential employer's wage to you if you could find a job. And the whole idea was, you know, maybe you'd find a job in something that was, a bit more, I don't know, for the future. But mm-hmm. I was just thinking, lots of us just wanted to go, whatever, like get a job, like it was pick corn in Leamington or Wyoming or somewhere around Sarnia, all the better. And so I was walking down the street after attending that, and I passed by CHOK on Front Street at the time in Sarnia, and I thought, I think it'd be cool to work in radio. So I just walked up and asked if I could speak to the manager, like I didn't know anything. And they said, do you mean the program director, maybe? And I said, sure. So, yeah, I had an interview with Paul Godfrey.
Oh, wow.
And he put me on the air, like, pretty much, he liked the whole idea. And he was like, sure. And Mark Cartland was the guy doing the evenings into the overnights at the time. And so I had to sit in with him in his evening shift. And then I was going to take over the midnight to 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think it was longer than that, actually. I think he started, like, early evening. I can't remember, but pretty wild. And so, you know, and this was back in 86, 87. So there was the Soviet Union, and that news, I'd have to read news at the top of the hour, and I couldn't pronounce half of these Soviet names. You know,
yeah,
it was hilarious.
Yeah, that would be tough.
Oh, man. Lee Michaels was this really neat gal, but, like, real tough, you know, like, and I remember her coming in, and she was pissed off and I couldn't pronounce certain words correctly, but she was all right. You know, we get along despite that, but she thought, you know, you got to try and pronounce some of these words better.
Mm-hmm.
But Yeah, so that's my experience in radio, and I did 86, and it was fun. I mean, that was my experience starting to like country music, to be honest, because I was a rock and roll kid.
Yeah.
And it was a split format station. So it was pop, like music without guitar solo, kind of MOR music from 5 a.m. to 7 p.m., and then it would go to country music from 7 p.m. to 5 a.m.
Mm-hmm.
And that last hour, 5 till 6 a.m., it would flip over back to, MOR. So I was more into that at the time because it was, you know, like whatever, Mike and the Mechanics, Phil Collins.
Well, you and
whoever.
I had so many influences that were the same because, well, you were close to the Detroit border, you know, at the time.
So yeah,
that
so where were you? Where
rock.
Were you from?
Toronto, but I loved like Bob Seger, Springsteen, like B.B. King was such a big deal to me. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
yeah. We have so much.
So you weren't necessarily at that time a country music listener?
Not at all. I was rock girl through and through. I loved Motown too. I loved Motown. That was a big influence for me.
Who was that last person you said?
Oh, Motown.
Motown, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Right on. So did I. I loved it. And so for me, a lot of that stuff that was country was like, okay, well, this is the job, you know, but at that time there was some breakthrough artists, as you well know now, like Dwight Yoakam mm-hmm. and Steve Earle. And, you know, I thought
Jake
they were
Niles
cool.
And,
I wouldn't tell a lot of people that, but I thought they were cool
mm-hmm.
And I would say that because I was really so into rock, but I was digging their stuff. And also Randy Travis, as much as he was even more, way more traditional country, of course,
mm-hmm.
but I thought he was pretty cool. And then the bands like that Prairie League band.
Oh, okay. I know who you're talking
Pure
about.
Pure Prairie League.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was another one that was like a West Coast kind of name. I can't think what they were called. But anyway, yeah, so some of that stuff I thought was very cool and band, you know, band-oriented kind of. But, yeah, that's funny. Yeah, so you know what I'm talking about.
I do.
And that's awesome. Well, I saw most recently the cover of the interview you did with Gil. He did my Christmas tour in about 2006. He was still with Tom.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having fun on the road with everybody on the road. And I said, you know, it'd be cool because you sing so... when you sound so much like George Strait.
Yeah, he does.
It'd be great to, you know, to plug that song. And so he said, well, you know, sure, I'll sing it. So I actually, and it was quite ironic because when I got that text from him last week or so, I had just been getting rid of old, you know, tax documents from way back. And I've had them for a long time, a lot of them. So there I was getting rid of folders that I'd found in my storage room. And one of them was from 2007, and one of the costs that I'd written off was Gil singing a demo of Centered.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And so when I found my files on that in the middle of COVID, I thought, you know, because I own all my own masters. It's not like I signed any.
Mm-hmm.
I own all my tracks, and I never signed any deals with any majors, so I have everything. And I said, you know, man, it'd be fun to work this song up and see if I can get you some airplay. And we did, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
That was from his vocal in 2007.
Nice. Well, I know the fans
really
loved it.
I mean, we recorded some new guitars and some new parts, and you know, but we used his vocal from then.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sang harmony to it. And it sounds great. It's killer. But it's too bad that CBC Country disappeared because he probably would have gotten a couple more months. But when they... When Top of the Country took over, they got rid of a bunch of music, and that was one of them.
Mm, yeah, because that was such a great song. I really, really enjoyed that song. And
good. Yeah, yeah, thanks.
I'm glad you did. Talk to us a little bit about Drink About You. Let's talk about that one.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Because that's kind of a celebration of 25 years of songs on the radio and to all your fans, right, to your career?
Yeah, I kind of looked at it that way. And I thought that was a fair assessment of it. I mean, a lot of times songs are a combination of like just a whole bunch of influences all in one song.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that song, when I wrote it in 2021, and I was kind of really quite, because you know, there's different levels of excitement when you write a song. You know, there's different, you can write a song and feel a lot of fulfillment for different reasons. Mm-hmm. And quite often the furthest thing from your mind is that this sounds like a song that would work well in a radio format. Mm-hmm. Sometimes that's just not what turns you on about a song, yeah. And you don't mm-hmm. think it would be. But this one, Drink About You, I felt when I wrote it like, wow, I think this one's actually got a great degree of possibility in a commercial sense for radio. Mm-hmm. And it was very, you know, in a nutshell, hooky, and it had all the right bells and whistles naturally coming to it.
Mixed messages and shared experience leave the impression I'm my own worst defense. The life I chose never made a lick of sense to anybody but me. You saw my guitar and cried, play me something I knew. Old country or some Seeger with this Detroit soul. I rolled my eyes and thought I could say no. Your smile kept me around. And now from time to time I'll drink about you without even thinking, or without the sun or the moon. If I'm busy or I got nothing better to do, I need no reason why. Why drink about you? Aztec, New Mexico, you don't want. Don't skip living the dreams on your bucket list. Take it from me, you said, the longer you resist, the older you be. And that kind of left me wondering just what it might have been. High stakes, maybe nobody wins. I've heard it said life has no accidents. I guess is what you want to believe. As for me, from time to time I'll drink about you without even thinking, or without the sun or the moon. If I'm busy or I got nothing better to do, I need no reason why I'll drink about you. Oh, 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 honest hearts never mean to leave anyone astray. Broken hearts they can mend again, but it takes more than walking away. Yeah, 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 yeah. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Oh, from time to time I'll drink about you without even thinking, or oh, without the sun.
That was Drink About You by my very special guest, country artist Sean Hogan. The song was released in December of 2021. You can download Sean Hogan's songs on all streaming platforms, and you can add them to your playlists and share them. You can also request them at your favorite country radio station.
We were talking earlier about festivals, but, you know, I played way more clubs and theaters, mm-hmm. you know, bars and whatnot than festivals. I mean, if you played festivals, and that was your career, just playing festivals, you're just playing in the summertime. Mm-hmm. And so you gotta, that's one thing I learned early on is that, you know, that's great. And agents would want you to, like, oh, you know, you gotta, you can't just play anywhere after the festival because you're going to bring down your price. So don't, you got to hold out for that big dollar that you might make at the festival.
What do they say? They
but then you're only playing
a
handful of festivals. I mean, yeah. Count them all up. The big ones, there's probably 10 of them in Canada for country music in the summer.
Well, Gord says that too, Gord Bamford, because he said, you know, like he would get a lot of complaints that he's saturating the market doing the smaller venue or like just.
Yeah, yeah, playing a theater here in Prince George or wherever. Mm. Yeah, I know. We play the same venues. I know what he means. Mm-hmm. But the fact is that, you know,
the fans
want to see him more than once in the summer every couple of years. You're not going to play the same festival every summer, back to back all the time.
And
you're
it's
not
more
going to be
intimate.
There every year.
It's more intimate, too, where the fans, you know, have a different, it's a different experience.
You're right. It is.
Totally.
Yeah. Yeah. It totally is. And it's fun to be in those different contexts, you know, to be in a small bar sometimes it's a way different opportunity than being on a big festival stage with the people way out there. And yeah, sure, there's tens of thousands of people there and that's a lot of fun, but they're way out there. Mm-hmm. And if you're in a bar, they're right there.
It's more personal to them. It becomes
yeah, you can look
different...
into their eyes because they're only 20 feet away as opposed to 200 and something, right? Or, and that's the front row, you know, like way in a festival. So in a bar or a club or even a theater for sure, or a casino, lots of country artists are playing casinos. And it's this, and it's that kind of intimacy, I guess, as you mentioned. So, yeah, and you know, I was reading something the other day. Somebody wanted me to slate a commercial. I was asked to read this audition for a commercial shoot in Mexico, and to fly down to Mexico and do this commercial. And they said, "But tell us about yourself and your singing experience." And you know, okay, well, and you don't want to make it very long, so you're going to say, "I've had the opportunity to play these continents and these countries." And really, I mean, truth be told, tens of thousands of people in my career. But some of the most memorable are when you're playing in some of the smallest little venues to some of the fewest crowds sometimes even, you know. It's and quite often, you know, unlike in a festival where after you're signing merch and there's a big lineup of people going by and you're saying hello and you're signing something, for you're not really having much of a conversation.
No.
But after a performance in a bar, you know, you're going to get into conversations with people. And I've even written songs out of a conversation that I had with somebody. I remember one time I was playing a little bar west of Edmonton on a tour, and somebody came up to me after and said they just came back from Mexico and they love songs of mine like Dream Vacation and Suck It Up and Travel Plans because it reminds them of being still on vacation away from, you know, northern Alberta in Mexico. And I asked the guy, well, whereabouts in Mexico? And he said, Huatuco. And I didn't think I heard him right. And I said, I'm sorry, what is that? He said, Huatuco. I said, is that how you say it? Huatuco, Mexico. I've never heard of that place. And he said, oh, yeah, you'd love it. And so I went and I Googled it and I looked it up. I'd never been to Mexico, period. I was in Campbell River, and I wrote Huatuco in Campbell River. I've never been to Mexico. And I just Googled it, and I looked up the information on what's Huatuco like, and then it led me to some photos of people saying closer to heaven. I saw somebody made like a wooden sculpture, and they painted on it closer to heaven. And I thought, oh, that is cool. Wow, this place is gorgeous. I didn't know about this place. And so
a lot of people didn't tell you put that song out.
So I wrote that song, and that came out of talking to a guy after him seeing me play in a bar with a couple of my friends. I think Jake and Dwayne were on that show, and we were just doing a little bar gig. And, so then I had this song, and this is like 2017, early summer 2017, and I was recording it, and I probably met this person back in, and his name's Cliff. I probably met him back in 2016, and that's kind of got the ball rolling. But in 2017, I started recording the tune. I sent it to my sister Loretta, just, you know, hey, here's a fun tune I'm working on, you know, about this place I've never been to. And she liked it. She played it for her husband, Bill. And Bill said, you know, Sean, one of my buddies that I snowmobile race with, who's also from Sarnia, has a house in Huatutro. I'm going to play
it for
him.
No way.
So he played it for him, and he said, you know, he owns a bar in your hometown called Scroggy's. And I said, yeah, I don't know him. Don't know him. I don't know the bar. You know, it's been there after I left. Mm-hmm. It was there. So then he heard it, and he contacted me. Bill said, this guy wants to talk to you. Because he played your song for some people that are ex-real estate people from Saskatchewan that moved to Huatutco. And they have like 40% of the market sewn up in Huatutco selling merchandise, sorry, real estate to Canadian expats. And they want to fly you down and make a music video like the ones wow. you made for CMT with that song. So that
very cool.
is now you know the story of Huatutco and why I wrote it and very what cool. happened.
Very cool.
I think it is pretty damn cool.
Yeah, very cool. Because I love that song. I never even heard of it either until you said it. So until it was in the song and I looked it up. I think all of us ended up looking it up as soon as we heard it.
Yeah, a lot of people did. And, you know, and they play it all the time down there. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, it was the craziest thing. Like when so they flew myself and my wife Diane down in, it was the last week of October, you know, almost into the last days. So much so that the days of the dead, October 31st and November 1st, it's 2 days of the dead. Mm-hmm. We were there for that.
Oh,
and we
wow.
shot some of the video on a beach. We were there for 1 week, and they flew Terry Odette down too, who is also the video director. And he, of course, had done most of Jamie's videos. He did a couple with me back in the 2000s, like just a couple. Like he did Dream Vacation and he did Silver Lining Girl. Mm-hmm. And we did another one for the song Hijacked. But that was it. And so he wasn't going to be the guy, but my guy at the last minute couldn't go, my cameraman, video operator. So I asked Terry, and they were happy to fly him. So there was Terry and my wife and I, and we went down there, made that video, and it was really a wonderful, fun thing. And then subsequently, I was flown down in February of 2018. When I was shooting the video, though, Kim, to Huatutco in that late October span there in 2017, there was a guy who was in the bar when we had this band thrown together, and really nice guys that were happy to be in the video with me. And there was some guy sitting in the audience, and he was like a real talker. Not a really big guy or anything, just a couple of years older than me. And he was like, hey, you guys are like great. Where are you from? And he had an American accent. And he goes, what are you doing? And I said, oh, we're making a music video. And he goes, oh, this is awesome. I just came in here with my golfing coach. And my name's Tony, you know, nice to meet you. I'm Tony. This is, I can't remember what his golfing instructor friend was, but he goes, tomorrow night, you got to come to my place. We're going to have a meal. You and your wife come over to my house. We're going to have a big meal. I'm from Chicago. I really want to, you know, this is awesome. I love the music, that trumpet player that you have. So this guy was 59 years old at the time. And he said, you know, I worked for NBC News for like 40 years.
No way.
Yeah. And like he started as like a guy answering the phone when he was a kid. And then he ended up, you know, in the newsroom holding the cue cards and things for the anchor people. Mm-hmm. And that's what he did. Anyway, I went to his house the next day. But that night I came down with a terrific cold. We'd been there for a week and I was getting a head cold. So he goes, and I called him. I said, listen, my wife doesn't feel that great. I've got a cold coming on. It's okay. Maybe don't shake a whole bunch of hands, but it's a good. I mean, I don't care. Come on over. We're having sailfish. So I went over there, and really nice guy. And he said, listen, really religious fellow too, very Catholic. He was like, and so he was like, I'm at turning 60. I'm going to turn 60 next July. And I want to fly you and that trumpet player and your wife down here for my birthday. And you stay at my villa and put together a band with whoever you want and play my birthday. And we did. He flew me down there in July 2018. And Diane, and man, is it ever hot then in that part of the world.
I know. Anyway. You don't go in the summer. No.
But it's a funny story. I just rattle on about stories.
That was so cool. And
nice guy.
That's, you would wonder whether or not he was going to follow through with that. But the fact that you ended up doing it, that's really cool.
Oh, yeah, yeah. All we had to do was like go to, you know, and I was raised Catholic, but I'm not a devout Catholic, and I haven't gone to Mass in a long time. I went a couple of times with my buddy from elementary school, who I'm still friends with in Sarnia, and, you know, before the pandemic when I was home. But this guy, Tony, he was like, no, we got to go to this particular, not a cathedral, but this particular little Mexican church. And his dad was American, I believe, but his mom was Mexican, either vice versa or that way. Mm-hmm. But so he's got dual citizenship. So Diane and I got dragged along to this outdoor Catholic Mexican Sunday church service, you know, mass. Mm-hmm. And then at his birthday, he had a priest there to have a little mass, you know, before the big party started. It was like, holy smokes, you know. And of course, we don't speak very fluent Spanish, so it was a lot of
It reminded me
just back then, I guess, you're kneeling, you're standing, you're kneeling, you're standing, you're kneeling, you're kneeling, you're kneeling, you're standing. You know, it's like, time to kneel, time to stand. I don't understand many of these words, but I know about the kneeling.
Kneeling and the standing. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. We gotta make sure that we're talking about a few of the songs that we're playing. One of them is Better Good Luck. So
Better Good Luck.
You gotta tell me about writing that one.
Yeah. That is one that I kind of, must have been 2014 or 2015, but I had the idea and a little bit of the melody, and I made a little voice memo of it, and then it sat, you know, buried in the world of voice memos where I didn't get back to it for a very long time. And I went and made the 7 Come 11 album with She Makes Me Feel and some really great music on that album. Huatuco, of course, Pretty Piece of Mexico. But I didn't, and this song, Better Good Luck, is kind of kicking around there, but it was one that I'd never really finished. Mm. And so during the pandemic, I thought I'd take a look at some ideas that I hadn't finished, that weren't, you know, fresh, like Drink About You, you know, or this mm-hmm. brand new one I have out, Nothing But Love. You know, I wrote that just before this past Christmas, like just and recorded through the holidays, et cetera. So this was kind of like an old idea that I started toying with it. It was like, you know, something to do during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. And I love the tune. I mean, it, you know, but I haven't been doing a lot of show. Some songs you can play solo, and this ties into Better Good Luck, so I'm not drifting too far off here. Some songs like Drink About You, you can play it solo so easily. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I'm not missing anything really when I play this, but a song like Better Good Luck, and there are many songs on my previous albums in my career where, there's not a ton, and most of them at some point I've played them with a band live, mm-hmm. you know, especially if they were a single. Yes, I did. But some tunes, I don't feel like I'm doing the song justice playing it acoustically.
Gotcha.
Because it has some really cool production things going on. And not that I'm right about that. I could play it and work it up and play it, and it'd be fine. It'd be kind of cool. But mm-hmm. to me, in my head, I'm missing too much. So that is not a tune, Better Good Luck, that I don't think that I've played live yet at any of the little,
oh, really?
You know, I mean, out here on the island, I do a lot of fishing resorts in the summer, some wineries, mm-hmm. things like that, and have fun. You know, I haven't left the West Coast since before the pandemic. I love that song, and I thought it had a really good vibe to it and a really groovy kind of hearkening back to some soulful music that I remembered listening to as a kid, a little kind of orchestral fun. Like, I mean, I threw some timpani in that tune, and it's got a real good heartfelt message, and I think it's cool. So there you go. Better Good Luck.
Very cool. We're going to play it right now. Here is Better Good Luck by my special guest, multi-award-winning country artist, singer-songwriter, Sean Hogan, here on Music's Journey.
My breath, life lived in retrospect, long to be a waste. Hey, all we got is now, yet we don't talk about it.
That was Better Good Luck by country artist Sean Hogan. The song was released in October of 2022. You can download Better Good Luck on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist, share it, and request it at your favorite local country radio station. You're going to have to tell us about Nathan Cunningham's one that you had mentioned as well. That's going to be coming out.
Oh, yeah.
Tired of Leaving.
Yeah, well, you know, this is interesting. Nathan has got this fabulous contemporary country pop voice, and he's, you know, like the Neville brothers. He has a voice that could sing a lot of Aaron Neville, and that's saying something. He's quite a character, and he is from Northern Alberta. You know, he and I have never met in person, but we communicated through social media for the last few years. At one point, maybe 4 or 5 years ago, he said hello on Facebook, and he told me that Tired of Leaving was a song that he loved in his, you know, early adulthood. Mm-hmm. You know, like, how old is this guy? But basically, that song was from, you know, almost 24 years ago, and he would have probably been about 20 years old then. So I thought, well, that's cool, and it's nice to meet you. I'm glad you like that song. And, I mean, that was a top 20 song for me. And then we chatted now and again, and then as the pandemic hit, I guess, really, the first 6 months, 7 months of the pandemic, I was still, you know, just putting out my own music. Mm-hmm. But by October of 2020, I was kind of going, geez, you know, I'm not playing any live shows here. I was really kind of fed up with the whole play online thing. I just tried to get into
same.
That. But
it's hard, yeah.
Just playing into a phone, I just felt like, at first it was okay, and then it just got to be like, this is ridiculous. I miss being on a stage in a bar or something, you know. And but then I heard a woman singing that I knew had won a song contest like a decade ago, and the radio station, FM country station in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, asked if she could sing a song of mine, and that's Tegan Little Chief. And
oh,
could she
wow.
record,
I've had her
if
on
she
the
won
too.
The contest, could she sing Vulnerable? And I said, for sure, if she can sing it. So, and then they did a version, and this was like 2006 or seven, and it was okay. I mean, it was a little studio in Yorkton, Saskatchewan, and they did not bad, but part of the lyric was actually wrong, and like in the verse, and I thought, okay, and this recording isn't as good. Now, at the time, Vulnerable, I recorded on my very first album when I wrote that first album, and then I recut that song in Nashville on my fifth album that I did almost the whole album in Nashville. And I recut it, and I cut it in E flat, like down a tone from F. And when I heard Tegan one day in late 2020, I thought, you know what? I should, for something to do, record her singing a better version of that song that she had to sing in the contest 10 years ago. And I'll ask her. And I didn't know her that well, so I called her up and asked her. And that went so well. She was so happy to sing a better version of Vulnerable. And then it got on a couple of satellite channels, and it was like a second birth for that song with her, let alone with me. And, you know, I moved the key again for her, but down to D flat. But she's such a great singer. It was fun to do. I recut the drums and bass and a few other things.
Yeah, she's talented.
And then I thought,
she's
that was so
talented.
Much fun. I'm going to record some other people, but only if they're singing my songs. And I remembered that Nathan liked my song, so I asked if he was like, yeah, I'd love to sing one of your tunes. So I recorded him singing Waste of Good Whiskey that I wrote with Duane Steele. And I did a kind of a, more like a like Mavericks Tex, you know, Roadhouse kind of version, not a country shuffle of it. And I had Delbert McClinton's trumpet player who'd played on some of my stuff, Terry Townsend, who's originally from Michigan and a brilliant trumpet player. And yeah, so then it just kind of took off. All of a sudden, I thought, you know, I'd love to record some other people. So Diane Chase sang a song I wrote with Pat Alger called Genuine Love.
Oh, wow. Yeah, because I was supposed to interview her for that. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I mean, that was a lot of fun. And so I've done now, since the pandemic, that year, the first year of the pandemic, over a dozen tunes that I've produced with other people. Singing nice. Songs of mine, whether they were brand new. Some of them I wrote brand new, and they were the first people to ever sing them. And a few of them are redone, like reimagined tunes. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy it, you know.
Nice. Really nice. Yeah.
So, because... yeah. And so getting back to Nathan, when it came to Tired of Leaving, like he'd sung a few, he sang Drink About You last summer. Mm-hmm. He loved that tune. He sang the hell out of it. Sounds great. And he wanted to sing it. He's like, man, that's a cherry tune. When can I, like, you know, and he's the same with Tired of Leaving. So it just seemed like full. And as fate would have it, Kim, Nathan recently has been going through some life changes with his family and with his wife, and Tired of Leaving. That's all about
perfect timing.
It's all about that.
Mm-hmm.
So
perfect timing.
Kind
so
of,
he would really deliver on that because of the lyrics.
Yeah, right? And he really does. It sounds great. So
nice.
That's the story.
Can't wait.
Yeah, it's coming out right now, this week. And in fact,
nice. Okay.
Looks like just got picked up at two major market stations in Alberta, Calgary, and Edmonton. So it's a good start, and we're hopeful.
We're going to play this one right now. Here is the new single called Tired of Leaving by country artist Nathan Cunningham here on Music's Journey.
Leave well enough alone. The words echoed through his hand. Common sense would say to play it safe. Don't get your hopes too high instead. He knew his parents meant well. They'd done the best right from the start. But at the end of the day, it was his own call. To listen to the voice from his heart and said, life is never like what you had planned it all. It's not a chore you can't postpone like you were waiting. Back when he lived life straight from the hip, to show the world once and for good. Success never happened overnight. End of his dreams, he slowly lost sight. He took a wife and a job with security. He said, I once knew a fool, man. He really believed that life is never like what you had. On a staircase when he turned 43, he said, leaving you to find myself seems wrong, but this life I chose ain't working for me. She looked him squarely in the eyes. She said, do what you must do. And when you find that window on your world, well, pull yourself on through.
Right down to the bone. You
That was Tired of Leaving by country artist Nathan Cunningham, a song that was written and originally released by my very special guest, multi-award-winning country artist Sean Hogan in 1999. Very cool. We got to talk about the last one before you got to go, and that's your brand new one that you got out right now, and that's Nothing But Love. Tell us about writing
right.
that one.
Right. Nothing But Love. Yeah. You know, I... Okay. Another true story. I'm taking a break from having some beer and wine right now. I'm going for I stopped on Robbie Burns Day, and I might have a beer on St. Patrick's Day, but I'm taking it. Giving my just kind of taking stock of everything, taking a break. But in the fall, I had been enjoying some Red Stripe beer, and it was like in one of those. I was in a beer store, and and there was some in one of those. Like these ones, were getting rid of the, in this barrel here in ice and all these. And there was Red Stripe. And I remember living in Toronto in like the late '80s. I lived there, and I went to Humber College. And I would, at one point, I worked at IBM before I was going to college. And
oh, I didn't know that.
What's that?
I didn't know that. I didn't know you worked at IBM.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. A keyboard player that I hung out with, and he was a roommate of mine. He worked at IBM. His dad had worked at IBM. And so just like factory on the floor stuff, but it paid so well. And it was a great way to save some money before, because I was studying jazz at college there in Humber. And so I got a gig there, and some of the people there were from the Caribbean and friends of mine. And so we'd go down to this bar called Cuddy's Hideaway in Toronto, and it's a real Caribbean hang. And anyway, one of my coworkers, in fact, his mom, I think, was from Jamaica and his dad was from Scotland. And so I hadn't tried Red Stripe in a while. So I bought some last fall, a few bottles, and I had some here. And one day, and I still have them, I'm looking at the lid right now. There it is. So I'm looking at the lid, and it literally just has this bland looking, it almost looks like someone took a red magic marker to the top of a plain beer cap. And it's the top of a Red Stripe beer, right? And then they're in little stubby bottles. And it was sitting on my desk, and I thought, I still got that Red Stripe bottle cap. And then I thought, that's kind of a neat line for a song, Sean. You know? and what would I say next? What about, you found on the beach where I made you laugh? And I was like, I think I'm on to a song right now. So I started writing this tune, and take it from me, I was driving old Rick Hutt crazy. And a couple of my buddies from 30 years ago, I had a trio, a little rock trio put together when I moved to the West Coast from Toronto in 1990. But I started writing this song, and I started writing it in the key of B. I hadn't any tunes in the key of B. Yeah, and it was just because it's when I start singing in a higher range in that key, it's really at the top.
Top of the
but
range.
But if I sing of my range, where I place the melody, of course. And so, but and the version I was writing was much slower, and more kind of just almost like a vibe of like Amanda Marshall. Dark horse kind of vibe, but just in kind of tempo and mood, not really.
Gotcha.
Yeah. So, and something about it was just like, you know, I don't know. The energy here is just kind of limited. So then I started playing with it in the key of A, and I kind of started picking up the tempo a bit, and I'm messing with it in the key of A and slightly different chords, but not a lot still. You know, and Rick was helping me out with a pre-production arrangement of it, because I would send him me, you know, playing it to a loop, a drum loop, and me and my guitar, and then he'd jam in on it, and with some keys, and so we were doing that back and forth. And then I thought, you know, A's okay, but maybe G, you know, and G, and if I play it in G, and I play it up here on the guitar, and so and this. Couple of buddies of mine from 30 years ago that I've kind of been back in touch with. I was a drummer, singer, and they were guitar and bass. And we're all on the island here, but long ways away from each other. And they're like, oh, we really like A, Sean. We like it in A. I don't know about G. Like, it's kind of neat what you're doing there, but we liked it in A. And I'm like, I don't know. No, I don't know. I just don't know. And so then Rick's kind of making, okay, well, let's check it out in A then. Here you go. This is what I put together, a little what you're doing and how you play it. And then I'm like, you know, I don't, like, I started playing with it in the key of E now. So now I'm doing it in the key. Well, by now, lots of people are going crazy because they're like, well, we liked it like this. And when I got to E, I was like, some things about this are kind of cool, but something about it is a little bit, it's holding me back. It's like something about it is a little bit too, you know, manufactured or something. So then I just popped it up a semitone to F, and all of a sudden, that it just felt right. And it was like, there's something warm and fuzzy about F. And I thought to myself, what tunes do you have in F, Sean? Because I've got a few in E. I got, you know, quite a few in G. A couple certainly in A, nothing in B. And I thought about the tunes I had in F. Not a lot, but there was like Dream Vacation from a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Watuco, it was in F. Then I thought I'd Google, just for fun, Google what famous hit songs are in the key of F. And holy moly, of course you can do that for any key. But mm-hmm. I was just curious. And I knew about some covers that I liked playing, like Counting Crows cover, you know, Long December's in F, and but there was a few tunes like of the many, many that are huge hits, and Brian Adams, It's Only Love, and I thought, yeah, that's a great tune, and there's something about the song that reminds me of Brian Adams, but not really. But and it was kind of weird, right? Because a guy who I almost had play drums on this, Kim, his name is Pat Stewart. Mm-hmm. Pat Stewart was the drummer on. He was the drummer on Summer of 69, mm-hmm. and he's from the island here. But then he never played with Brian Adams. He played on that song. That's him playing drums on Summer of 69. And then he went on to play with a lot of people, Colin James a lot, and a lot of people.
That's
a drummer for
him.
A living.
Yeah, was with
but
Colin
he didn't
James.
Tour. You met him, yeah? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but he didn't tour with Brian. And then, like 2 weeks before I was done with this song, I'm watching Jimmy Fallon one night. I was just waiting for the next show to come on. I think it was Stephen Colbert. But there's Jimmy Fallon. You know, he holds up the vinyl album at the end and the band's standing there and he's saying goodnight. And it's Brian Adams. And who's that standing with him? It's Pat Stewart. And I thought, that's wild. Because I know he never, and apparently he's doing a big world tour. He's down in South America and they were playing L.A. And so it was really kind of weird, small worldish, because I had been asking friends, is Pat around? And I was thinking about getting Pat on this song last fall when I wrote it. And then I ended up getting my buddy down in Nashville who's played on a lot of my material, David Northrup, who played with Boss Gags. He played with Travis Tritt for 8 years. He played with Oak Ridge Boys. And he's a friend of mine. He played on my fifth album, and he's a good buddy. I stay with him when I'm in Nashville. And I thought, you know what? I might as well just get David. Pat Stewart isn't around. But it was just all kind of weird, you know, because here I thought, oh, yeah, It's Only Love. That's a great tune, great Brian Adams tune. And so when I started recording this in my final variation and gave everyone a sense of relief that I was settling in some key and I was going to stay there and it just felt right, I really felt like, no, this, I'm really happy with my arrangement. I tightened it where I wanted it and everything. And, you know, poor old Rick Hutt. You gotta like either learn to be an engineer as well or stop moving this song around. Right? And I did actually buy a little Pro Tools rig, but it's still in the box since last July. I'm not really into that. I will do it. Like I do when I do voice work, I have a simpler way of just doing my audio. And when I sing Bee Gees or guitar, I don't pull up the whole program in front of me. I record all the files I need and I send them to engineers. But so this song, apparently I just found out today, is top 10 this week. Nice. In Canada.
Nice. It's a great
for
song.
For most airplay on satellite radio.
Mm-hmm. It's a really good song. Really good song.
Thank you.
Yeah, so I'm really excited.
Yeah, it's fun. It's fun to, and it was exciting to me. Like once in a while you write a song that you think it works really great and some people really like it, but it's not as exciting, but this one to me felt really exciting and fun.
Yeah. Oh, I'm so happy. So happy.
Yeah,
I can't
thank
wait
you.
To play it for the fans. And we played a snippet of it at the beginning of the show. We're going to play it for you right now. Here is the brand new single, Nothing But Love, by country artist Sean Hogan, here on
Music's Journey.
I still got the red striped bottle cap you found on the beach where I made you laugh. I reckon if we hustle, we'll be lining back. But you let me have it. Feeling salty, it was sensory overload. I fell for every word you said for spoke. My heart beat like drums. We'll never know if the universe planned it. We could say Montego Bay had a magic in the air. Playing romantic foolery in the hands of faith there. Nothing but love, nothing but love adds up to us. I dreamed last night as the day came. Walked through my door through a pouring rain. You're holding a candle, had no burning flame. You had a look of desire. Storm wicked winds and surf crash. I heard talk of a curse in a forecast. You held out a bottle, a book of matches and laughed. Said you're air and I'm fire. Some may believe it was the heat off the street in Havana. Destiny called right time, right place. Yeah, nothing but love adds up to us. There ain't nothing but love adds up to us. I never knew if heaven waits for everyone. While the lonely or restless ain't hell-bent to run. A life without you with me is just a wrong equation. Till I met you, baby, yeah, I've only been waiting. Yeah, I've only been waiting.
Was the brand new single Nothing But Love by country artist Sean Hogan. Don't forget you can download Nothing But Love on all your streaming platforms. You can add it to your playlist and share it. You can request it at your favorite local radio station.
Yeah, right on. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Well, I want to thank you again for having me on your show and mm-hmm. and putting a feature on in the magazine. That's really cool. So I will
Not
look forward to that.
Problem.
Okay, right on.
Okay.
Well, thanks, Kim, and I hope you have a good evening.
Yes, you too. All right.
Okay, bye-bye. Talk to you again. Thanks.
All right.
Bye.
A great big thank you to my very special guest, multi-CCMA award winner country artist Sean Hogan for coming on the show. I've got some great shows coming up. I'm going to be interviewing Gord Bamford, Madeline Merlot, Jamie Warren, Tim Hicks, Tennille Towns, rock band Harmonies, Samuel Harness from the NBC The Voice. Samuel is an upcoming contestant on the future episodes in the auditions for the hit series American Idol, so you can watch out for him there. We've got Jay Coot, winner of The Voice, is back with another special song. I'll be chatting with Devin Cooper, David James, Runaway Angel, Anthony Tulo, Rock and Roll Icons Chicago, Rock Icons Lighthouse, Rock Icons The Stampeders, Ty Wilson, The Prairie States, Dan Davison, Shantaya, Annika, and so many more. Don't forget you can catch all my shows that you don't want to miss at musicsjourney.com. You can also check out all the articles, new releases, new videos, and reviews at nowandthenmagazine.com. Well, that's it for me, your host, Kim Sear. Thank you so much for tuning into The Music's Journey Show, and have yourselves a wonderful day. I will catch you here next time on Music's Journey.
Laying low on a bay in Huatuco, living the life and loving, living life slow. With no dinero, I'm out of what I earned, yet I'm closer to heaven than I may well deserve. Dreaming of palm trees, hot sandy beach, world out of reach, oh, cast away. I'll reel my heart back in, save it for someday when I return, yeah, I'll return to stay, to stay, yeah, yeah, yeah. When my plane touched down, I let my worries slide. Friends and relations thought I'd fallen from the earth. Sun and the sea whisper, take it slow. Pero con las mujeres las cervezas, yes, and I'm to them. There you know, on a plane, don't want to go. Living the life, loving, living life slow. No dinero, I'm out of what I earn, yeah. I'm closer to heaven than I may well deserve. Castaway.